with the new people that we've gotten in the past year or so, and also as a reminder for us who's been here a while, I thought I'd cover why we observe the days that are coming up, starting tomorrow. Most of the rest of the Christian world look at us for observing these days as foolishness. They're not required by the New Testament followers of Jesus. As I cover these holy day or holy observances, I will show that they are required by New Testament Christians. Tomorrow evening will be a start of the festival season. We observe Passover for baptized members. Others are welcome to come, but they can just observe only. Why do we keep Passover and not Easter? Isn't Passover Jewish? Set the framework. I'm going to read from the Old Testament in Leviticus 23, starting in verse 1, where God clearly says these are his feasts. Verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. The first feast that is commanded is a Sabbath day, and after that, all the other commanded yearly holy days. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. In verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And the new year starts in the spring, God's new year, not in the middle of winter. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. In verse 9, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, say to them, When you come into the land which I give you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day of this. After the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Dropping down to verse 15, we shall come to the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. In Deuteronomy 16:16, we are told not to come to these holy days empty-handed, but to give an offering to the Lord. That is why we take up an offering on these days only. If we can find that the New Testament follows the followers of Jesus, both Jew and Gentile, kept these feasts, then that should let us know that we are to still be observed. Beginning with Passover, we observe the new symbols Jesus established. We too have passed over from the death angel because of the blood of Christ, but with even greater meaning than the physical death the Israelites escaped from. Jesus set the example that we should wash one another's feet, a lesson in service and humility. If you'll turn to John 13, starting in verse 2. John 13:2. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, so that So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Drop down to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I had done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I am your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you." Next, if we'll turn to Mark 14. Mark 14, we'll read 22 through 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, the New Testament church was told, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Some churches feel they can decide how often this is done because it says as often as you do this. But it has a predetermined appointed time. Any other time is not holy time set apart by God. Only God can make something holy. We do not find the customs of Easter in the Bible. We are not told to color eggs and hide them, tell the children a rabbit laid them, and then go tell them to hunt for them. This tradition is found in ancient pagan celebrations. Worshipping facing the east towards rising sun was an abomination recorded by Ezekiel in chapter 8. Easter and its sunrise service is not a celebration of the resurrection of Christ, who had already risen when the women came to the tomb while it was still dark. Next, we celebrate the 7 days of unleavened bread in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8. We are admonished to get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. In verse 8, "Therefore, let us keep the festival not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." This is a direct reference to the festival that required the removal of leaven from the premises. In Acts 26, it is mentioned that Paul and certain brethren sailed away from Philippi, a Gentile congregation, after the days of unleavened bread. We are just as guilty in sin and of killing Christ as those who were present nearly 2,000 years ago. We are to remove all leavened products from our homes for 7 days and to only eat unleavened bread. Leavening is a type of the sin that puffs up, and removing it is an exercise in remembering and remain humble and free of sin. Next is Pentecost. In Acts 2, we find the disciples of Jesus assembled together to keep the feast. In Acts 2, verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to be there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Many churches are beginning to see that Pentecost applies to them. The logical conclusion would be that if you're to honor one of God's set-apart days, why don't you, do them all, to show the fulfillment of God's plan. My own personal belief is it's just because it always falls on Sunday. But, I don't know. The first holy days are remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf, the need to continue without sin, and the giving of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to do so. These were yet to be, yet in the future, when they were given to the church in the wilderness. Later this year, we'll be celebrating the ones that look forward to the events yet to come. Still in our lives, trumpets showing the return of Christ at the last trump, and the rest of the first fruits being changed to be like him. Then atonement and the binding of Satan to no longer be able to influence mankind to be in rebellion against God. After that starts the Feast of Tabernacles, picturing the millennium rule of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and lastly the days that celebrates resurrection of all who have ever lived, given the one and only chance to learn of the Savior. We will hear about those days in depth in due season. We go through this plan of God year after year because the one who designed us knows we must develop pathways or we'll forget, if not reminded. Our modern calendars of our human construct, we look on the new year as being in the dead of winter, but God established it in the spring. This man-made way of figuring time ignores the signs and seasons God set in the heavens in Genesis 1 and keeps people confused about God's timing of his plan. We have lost sight of the fact that evening to evening is a day and does not start at midnight. Many religious people believe you have an immortal soul that shoots straight up to heaven or down to a purgatory that offers no clear path of escape, or to the hopeless, ever-burning torment of hellfire. This is similar in the beliefs of the Greeks in ancient times. The first line told, recorded in the Bible, was, "You shall not surely die." And then God had to tell Adam and Eve right away, "Dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And yet Catholics and Protestants alike mostly believe in the immortal soul, and the words of Satan when he said, "You shall not die." Other religions have their own capricious gods who require strange things that never enter the mind or heart of the one true God. They all ignore that God is not willing that any should perish, and his plan to rescue most of mankind from certain death. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians 15:20. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. We are also firstfruits, following in the footsteps of our elder firstborn brother, as long as we are filled with God's Holy Spirit and continue in the path that God has set for us. May we never lose sight of the lessons and hope that come from keeping those holy days of God."